the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
All right, everybody, welcome to episode number 221 of the Golf Podcast. In case you missed it, last week we talked about our visit to the Titleist Ball Plant 3. That's where they make the Pro V1 and Pro V1X, as well as the new AVX golf balls. That podcast you can go back, listen to anytime, wherever you listen to your podcast, or you can simply get it in our app, our free app. There's a lot of ways to listen to that. I would definitely encourage you to go back and check that out, because that was kind of the long form where we got to really dive into the experience that you most likely got a chance to see in our vlog, which dropped recently, where we showed the process of kind of going behind the scenes at the ball plant. If you didn't check that out yet, again, you can get it in the app or you can watch it on our YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/golficity. If you haven't checked out the app yet, definitely grab that. It's free, 100% free for iOS and Android, and it has every single podcast episode, every single video, and all your favorite Golficity content in one place. Today's topic, we're going to talk about how to make a great bunker shot from the wet sand. And we've all experienced this. We've all had it where it's a day after rain and that sand is packed down. Especially we get this a lot in the spring, in the fall. So there's a lot that we can work on as far as just conceptually and just some setup things that we can change that can get a lot more successful from that. So we're not just ending up with a flyer or something crazy. We've all had that, right, Mike?
Right. And by the way, I wanted to interject here because we're bringing it back to our roots, Frank. It's been 3 weeks, actually 4 weeks, since we talked instruction on the show. Yes. And I know a lot of our listeners who really crave the instructional stuff might be just saying, hey guys, where was it? But for a good reason. We had Michael O'Reilly from Whistling Straits on 3 weeks ago. And then of course we had the fitting at Sleepy Hollow the week after that. And then the ball plant visit last week. So we're back to our roots here, Frank. Excited to talk instruction.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. We try to get a little bit of a mix for everybody. We try to talk a little bit about equipment, a little about experiences. But like I said, it's time for talk a little bit of instruction. So we're going to dive into that in a second. By the way we get a lot of that feedback is through our Facebook group. It's 100% free. If you're not in it yet, get in it. Go to Facebook. Just search The Golf Podcast or Golf Podcast. You'll see it pop up. It'll also be in the links every week in our show notes, which is also in the app. But there's a lot of reasons to get involved there. It's a great way, first of all, to give feedback to us. If there's stuff you want to hear, if there's people you want to have us have interview on the show, a lot of the topics that we talk about here come from our listener suggestions there. The other thing is we are always working on giving back to you guys, because we appreciate each and every one of you who listens to the show each week. So in our Facebook groups, we're going to be doing a lot of giveaways really soon. We're lining up a bunch of stuff for this summer. And with that, all you got to do is be in the group and you're automatically entered in those giveaways. And it's also a great way for us to coordinate some of the events and things like that we're going to be doing. We're going to be working on, Mike, back by popular demand, so to speak, the Golficity Virtual Open, which we ran last year. That was a ton of fun. We had about 300 participants. We're going to look to try to even top that number this year. And we're targeting doing that in July and August. And that's where you can play in our virtual tournament, no matter where you live, and you can get involved. And we're going to have prizes for that as well. So a lot of great stuff, a lot of great reasons to be in the group, and it's free. So hop in there and check it out. Now, speaking of which, we always like to kind of touch on the state of our game, so to speak. I saw some really great pictures coming from you, Mike, because you had a chance to play Arcola recently. How'd that go?
Yeah, what a treat. Yeah, absolutely. A second time out, you know, it's funny because my first and only time I was there, maybe 2 years ago, I was invited by a buddy who just joined. And, you know, he said, come on out, play the course. We just had the course. The club championship here last weekend. So the greens are really quick. They're running at like 13 and change. You know, tough course as it is, long course. You know, you got to walk it, got to take a caddy. It's one of those types of clubs. And it's great. It's a great experience. Shot a 110 the first time I played there. It was just really difficult. Nothing was working. I was blowing the ball like 10 feet by, you know, the hole every putt. Just couldn't get it down. So fast forward 2 years, I got the invite to come back, and I went out there and I shot a 92, and I was really happy with that score. I mean, I got off to a really slow start, made a couple of double bogeys, and just I lost the ball on the third hole, just overshooting a par three green into the marsh where I had to drop and hit three. So off to a rough start, but I settled down really, really nicely. I was very happy about this. And, you know, I just kind of slowed everything down and I ended up finishing really well. And the course, Frank, it's such a beautiful course, really awesome design. You know, I mentioned this before, Morgan Hoffman, PGA Tour player. He's a member there. He's always there doing events. He has an event coming here in August that he's doing with the guys as they're in town for the Northern Trust. So really awesome club, probably one of the most prestigious ones around the area here. And overall, it was the Friday before Memorial Day. It was like 91 degrees. Really no complaints, no matter what the score was.
Yeah. That's it's one of those things. It's like when I played Bethpage Black, I'm like, you just got to look at your entire like expectations and just like not set like your normal scoring expectation and just have fun, enjoy the course, enjoy the challenge of it, and just get out there and do it.
You know, and this kind of is the same for when you and I get back to Pound Ridge in 2 weeks. We were invited back to play there for their 10th anniversary, and we're going to do a full vlog for that, by the way. I can't wait. What a gorgeous course. I feel like it ate us up the first time too, similar to Arcola for me, and I kind of want to get a second crack at that with, you know, all the changes I've gone through in the last 2 years, because it's been 2 years, I think, as well.
It has been. Mm-hmm. And now this year, you know, hopefully we'll get the drone in the air. We'll have a little bit of fun.
And the new clubs.
So that should be a good one.
Yep, for sure.
I had a chance to play as well. Memorial Day, Monday. I feel like that's kind of like the unofficial golf weekend. You know, everybody tries to get out there. It's always so busy. But I was able to score tee time, snuck out there, played.
I'm stoked you got out there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to get to play. Mm-hmm. You know, the first couple of holes were a bit of a mess because I hadn't played in a couple of weeks. And, you know, you get that time just to like get the kind of flow back. But then I was starting to really play well towards the end. But one thing that was, I was kind of, you know, a goal of mine was testing out the AVX. So while we were up there at the Titleist plant, they gave me a dozen of the AVX. So I said, listen, I've been really looking to try to test that out. Because if anybody listens to the, you know, been listening to the show for some time, you know, kind of the progression for me has been about 4 or 5 seasons ago, I discovered that I really wanted to focus on playing a softer ball because I just, for me, I like to play a feel game and I feel like I can feel a lot with a softer golf ball. I was playing the 3-Up, which is a brand that was a very small local company, made a terrific golf ball, but then they went out of business because it can be very hard to compete when you're that small. After that, I went to the Chrome Soft and I was playing that for a while. A lot of guys said, listen, no, I've been playing that ball. I was having a lot of fun with that. A lot of success with it. And what I found though was, like most people, as it kind of gained a little bit more attention, the price just kept kind of creeping up and up and up and up on that Callaway Chrome Soft. So where I was buying them for about $30 a dozen, now all of a sudden I was seeing them for high 40s, you know, almost $50 a dozen. And then at that point, I'm like, it's a great ball, but this doesn't make sense. If I'm going to pay $50, I'm going to play a Pro V1. You know, to me, it's still a better ball. It's not quite as soft as I would like, but it's still a soft enough ball. You know, it's incredibly high performance ball. So I'm like, I'll play the Pro V1. Then Titleist comes out with the Tour Soft and I'm like, wow, here we go. We got a really solid name and we've got, you know, in Titleist, I know they're not going to put out an inferior product and it was a soft golf ball and it was only like $30 a dozen. So I'm like, nice, this is perfect. I'm back to where I wanted to be, but played it for a little while, really enjoyed it. Great ball. I think in that price range, it cannot be beat. I think for $30, you're not going to find anything else that's going to be, you know, that good. And again, the price may fluctuate when you're hearing this, but around the time of this recording, it's about that much. Anyway, enter the AVX, and a lot of people are asking me about that because the AVX is billed as a softer ball than the Pro V1 and the Pro V1X, but still long. And I'm gonna pull that up on Titleist while I'm looking at it. So I put it out there. I start playing it. And first thing I noticed, it did feel great. So yeah, the way the Titleist talks about, they say remarkable distance with exceptionally soft, feel. So I was really enjoying the ball. 100 yards and in, felt terrific on the putting surface, felt terrific. All the reasons why I choose a soft ball all those aspects, checked every single box. For me, the only thing that I wasn't my favorite, but that's only, again, that's for my personal game, is that it's engineered for a lower flying ball. So it's a little bit lower flying. And a large part of that is that they call it like piercing trajectory. They're getting a little bit more distance. If it's me, I'm a person who's always happy to sacrifice distance for feel. So I would have no problem with sacrificing a bit of that and losing a little bit of distance. But I will tell you, the ball was long. I hit my on one hole. It's the 10th hole over here. No, sorry. The 11th hole. I hit my longest drive I've ever hit on that hole with that ball. So there, wow. I say hats off for a soft ball for me to be able to put it out that far. I was like, you know, I'm just kind of flipping through my Arco statistics too on that. Look at that drive. Yeah, I mean, that drive, and it was wet, no real roll, and I was 264. That's a great drive for me.
Yeah, that's excellent.
So anyway, great ball. I would say this would be my kind of, not final verdict, because I'm sure I'll look back and talk about this a little bit more as I game them. But my, so to speak, you know, interim verdict is this. If you're a person like me and you're looking to play a softball, I think that the Tour Soft is an excellent, excellent choice if you're a little bit more budget-minded. And then if budget's not as big of a thing, if maybe you don't lose as many golf balls, maybe you're a little bit lower handicap, I think that slight bump in performance and feel you get from the AVX is worth taking a look at. Now, we are talking about a $20 difference almost in per dozen. So again, I just think it's good in a way, because it provides a really good, viable softball option to both budgets, to both price ranges.
Yeah. You know, I would love to do this if we can maybe get back out to Sleepy Hollow, get Kevin involved and go through a full ball fitting through the Titleist line, you know, bring the new clubs out there. I don't know if he can specialize in that, but just to see maybe the Pro V1X, a ball that I never play, is it's a better ball for me. I don't know, because I haven't gotten fitted. We've gotten fitted for everything else, Frank. So, yeah. You know, why not get fitted for the ball? I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I don't think you're going to go wrong either way.
Yeah,
the Tour Soft or the AVX, if you're looking for a soft ball, but that AVX felt terrific. Yep. So although, because I know it's expensive, I think the best bet would be, instead of buying a dozen, get a sleeve, take them out there, see if it feels good for your game. And if you're somebody who likes the performance of a Pro V1 and you want something that's just a little bit softer, I'd say, because I no doubt the Pro V1, the Pro V1X both have terrific soft feel. But if you want something that's a little bit softer, I would test out the AVX and see if you like it. So,
yeah, totally agree. I love it. Been playing well with it ever since I got my hands on it. So I'm totally with you there.
Yeah. So that's good stuff. All right. So the other thing I wanted to mention, I was, speaking of which, I was using Arcos again while I was out there. One thing I wish that the Arcos system did is I wish there was a way on there to kind of like lock in at your statistics and like set like a break point where now, because I know the new clubs are on their way, right? So I'm going to be moving from my old clubs to my new clubs, and I'm going to be taking all the sensors and moving them over. That's easy enough. But I wish there was a way to separate my stats so I knew my stats before and after. So I want to see
the change. I wonder if we can reach out. Maybe we could find out.
I'm going to have to find out, because I want to see the change from when you go from one to the other, like the difference in distances, the difference in dispersion. Because one thing I'll say, I this is the first like real full round this season I played with Arcos, and they've had some updates over the winter. Oh my God. I mean, you gotta check it out. This thing is like robust. There is so much. I mean, before there were tons of stats, but now it's like, it's incredible. It's like mind blowing what they've gotten there. So like, I'll find myself, the reason I love it is that after a round, I'll just spend a lot of time just like thumbing through, and I can go back through shot by shot and look at all the different areas, and it helps me create a game plan for where I want to practice and improve. But anyway, long story short, the interface is really awesome. Whatever they did with it, you know, all the different tweaks that they made, hats off to them. Really great stuff. I'm going to be putting them on the new clubs when they arrive. I'm just going to try to get a creative about a way that I can tell the difference.
Well, how about that? You're most likely not going to play another round until Pound Ridge, right?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to try to get out there this weekend.
All right. If you do not get out there this weekend, then you could just assume everything is starting in June. Here we are, May 30th. If you do that, then my whole idea is out the window. But if you don't, if your next round is with the new clubs, then you're going to be in June. So you could say all the rounds from June on. But that's going to throw up all the calculations. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it has like things like averages, longest.
Oh, yeah. So averages isn't going
to
work.
Longest. There's no way to like, I mean, I could totally reset everything, but then I can also lose that. So I got to see.
I wonder if you could save it. Interesting.
I'll have to look. I can always screenshot it and see how it changes from there from going on.
True.
But one thing I wanted to tell you this. Is if you look on here, one thing it does is it tells you per each club, it'll tell you things like distance, range, longest, green and regulation percentage, but it also says usage. And I thought this really drove a point home that I thought was very important. This is my usage of each club over the last approximately 2 to 3 seasons, right? I don't have an exact cutoff date. And we talk about like putting the most practice and the most time and money and fittings and energy and everything into the clubs that's going to you use the most. Well, take a look at this. I hit, for example, I've hit 58 shots with my 3-iron, right? 3 shots. And I think this is in 3 seasons, if this tells you anything, with my 5-wood, which is why we talked about with Kevin in that fitting. I said, listen, give me something else. I don't need this 5.
Right.
And that's when we started to look into the hybrids. But driver, I hit 261 times. So that's like the second most used club. And then jump all the way up to putter. Do you want to take a guess how many putts in about 3 seasons?
I'm going to say 647.
Try 1,118 putts.
There's an important part.
Compare that to my 7-iron that I hit 83 times.
Wow.
What does that tell you? You know what I mean? That's where it's all done right there, you know, the putting surface. Now, I will say there are way too many 3-putts in that statistic for me, and I need to bring that down. But it's the truth. You use your putter a heck of a lot more than anything else, and I thought that really reflected it.
Yeah,
so that was something I wanted to say. And the other thing I want to tell everybody, the one thing that I've been working on and that I've seen, talk about the state of our game, that I've seen the most dramatic improvement in the shortest amount of time, short game wise, working on my chipping and pitching, very specifically, working on turning my hips.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find that when I started to bring my attention to it, I was swinging way too much with the arms. And when you watch the pros do it, and I saw somebody had a great tip where they say, you know, hold in your hands, hold an alignment stick. So it makes it so that it really extends your club out much longer. So it's like almost like holding like a, I don't know, 5-foot club. So your alignment stick will go up and past you. And if you do that and you practice pitching with that, it'll force you to turn your hips, because if you just cast, you're going to hit yourself with the alignment stick. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. And it feels weird at first, especially for the much shorter like chips to kind of like turn a little bit. But by just putting a little bit more turn in, I'm just finding that I'm so much more consistent. I'm making more consistent and better impact and contact with the ground. So I'm having a lot less of those instances where you just dig way in. So that's a very promising part of my game. I'm looking forward to that moving forward.
Yeah. Very important part, Frank. And for me right now, that's an area that's working very well for me, except from tight lies. But I'm still working on that. Hopefully I can kind of work those kinks out pretty soon.
I think the new grind and the new bounce that we've got, the new Vokies, is going to really help you with that. But I also think putting this into play, it really helps.
Yeah, sounds like it.
All right. So let's do a quick word from our sponsor. And then what I want to do is I want to jump right into this topic. So this is going to be, like I said, it's going to be an interesting one. I know it's a lot of things, you know, a lot of people deal with that wet sand. But before we do that, this episode of the Golf Podcast is sponsored by Titleist, the number one ball in golf. And let me tell you something. We know firsthand why they've earned that badge as being the number one ball in golf. You know, after, you know, being through the facility, getting the fitting and just seeing it firsthand, there's just so much more. But speaking of fittings, check this out. Titleist now offers Titleist Tuesdays, which are a unique opportunity for every player to receive a high quality Titleist club fitting or guided trial experience with an expert Titleist product specialist. We know a bunch of our listeners, you're already started setting up your free fittings. If you guys are really in for a treat, because, you know, walking out there with the knowledge, the exact specs that are right for your game, the height, the bounce, the reach, the loft, these are so many things you can discover. And by using the Titleist Thursdays, you have access to it and it doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah, and you know, talk about full selection. I mean, you'll be able to hit Titleist metals, irons, wedges. You'll be hitting the Titleist Pro V1, Pro V1 X golf balls. And because the proof is in the numbers, Titleist specialists, they are fully equipped with TrackMan, that ball flight monitor technology, to make sure that you find the perfect equipment specifications for your game and the confidence it takes to shoot lower scores. Frank, you call it Titleist Tuesdays. Actually, Titleist Thursdays, but you're human. But Titleist Thursdays are free, regardless of what the name is. Titleist Thursdays, they're free. Sign up for the nearest one, the one nearest to you. I mean, it's simple. Visit Titleist.com and learn more there.
Mike just told me that because he wants me to show up on Tuesday when no one's there so that he can get all the benefit. And
dude, I got it. I have to take every advantage I can.
So yeah, so that's Titleist Thursdays. Like I said, it's a great way to get some really quality fitting, and it's free. So check that out. Okay. So speaking of tonight's topic, bunker shots from wet sand. Look, with a bit of practice, your standard greenside bunker explosion shot, it really does not have to be that big of a challenge or as scary as a lot of people think it is. I think the hard part is you're not as used to like very consistent sand where we see like on the PGA Tour. Other than weather events, the sand is very consistent, and they're able to know that they're going to have a very consistent, put a consistent stroke on the ball and get a consistent result. But where that consistency goes out the window is where we have these situations, like I said, like a weather event or something like that, where you get that really hard, wet, packed sand. So we've all seen it. We've all experienced it. You guys know what it's like to go out there and see that. And it's just like almost feels like and looks like concrete. It's even you and I, Mike, we've played in the rain. So there's no amount of anything that maintenance can do to avoid it. It's just going to be like that for a little while. And here's the thing. Your feeling on that shot, on that wet sand shot, is going to be largely influenced by where you are on the course. So if you're in a fairway bunker, you're probably jumping up and down happy if you got that shot, because what will most likely happen is a hard packed bunker is going to make your job easier because you're not going to be down in the sand at all. It's going to be almost like hitting off a cart path, you know, just make solid contact and you'll be fine. Again, weather permitting, you know, it could be, if it's really bad out there, you could have those situations where the it hits in there and then that wet sand gets caked on the ball a little bit. That's its whole own little challenge. But here we're going to talk a little bit more about those greenside bunkers. That's where it's going to get to be a little bit more of a struggle. And you can probably imagine that, you know, as we've talked about before, hitting that explosion shot is all about getting in there, digging and hitting, making contact with the sand, not the ball. And then by doing that, the sand is going to throw the ball up on the green. We've had a whole episode where we've talked about that. I'm sure we're going to review it even more. The problem is when you've got that hard packed wet sand, that just is no longer an option in that situation. If you attempt that, dig in explosion shot, chances are very, very high that the club is going to bounce right off the top of the sand. You're going to catch that leading edge, hit that middle of the ball. And what you're going to have is a ball that comes out extremely fast, extremely hot. And if it gets you out of the bunker at all, it's going to be way past on the other side of the green. So the first thing you need to do is you need to assess that lie like you would do with any shot, assess it, and take a look. What does the sand look like? And that's why a lot of times it's just smart just to dig in with your feet. Not only do the pros, when we see the tour pros, they really dig in with their feet. Not only are they doing that in a bunker to stabilize themselves, but they're also doing that because you can't ground the club. So this is just kind of a trick in a way that you can get a feel for how tight or loose the sand is. So same type of thing, get in there, dig in a little bit with your feet and get an idea of how hard it is. And then if it looks like it's going to be that hard where the club is just going to bounce right off the surface, just eliminate that explosion shot as an option. Take it out of your mind. And by doing that, because sometimes you'll see it, we've all had this thought, we're like, you know what, I can still muscle it out of here.
Yeah, you know? Sure.
But you're kind of working against physics at that point, because the way that the club is designed, the way the bounce of the club and the grind is designed, you know, it's going to end up just skipping right off of there. It's not going to dig in. So it's something to keep in mind. And if you do see somebody, one of your playing partners is going to attempt it, make sure you're not standing directly across from on the other side of the green, because you may catch a ball.
Yeah, it could be dangerous. Now, what kind of a lie are we talking about in a situation like this? It's just going to rest on top, like sitting on concrete for the most part?
We're thinking about 90% of the time. Yeah. If you've managed to get a fried egg in a really wet
Yeah. Then you,
I just wish you luck, shake your hand and walk out, yeah, walk away.
Take, but no, take your medicine.
Yeah. There you're going to obviously have to take some sand. In that case, what I would encourage you to do is just come down a little bit steeper, take less sand.
So,
just try to make that contact with the ball.
So why not, means silly question, but why not treat it if it's a greenside bunker we're talking about, that the ball is literally sitting on top of the sand and you know the sand is wet, treat it like it's a tight lie in a fairway, same distance out, and just kind of pick it clean. Is that what we're talking about?
That's
here?
That's essentially what we're going to be, what we're going to dive into. Okay. We're going to talk about the key is to start thinking pitch rather than blast.
Got it.
And I think if we drive one point home here, it would be to get the idea of that blast shot out of everyone's mind.
Sure.
Because if you're trying to blast it, you're, like I said, you're swimming against the current at that point. That's where you're going to have a little bit of trouble. So just thinking about pitching it and just, you know, using your pitching technique to get it out of that greenside bunker. It's still going to be a difficult shot, but at least you're going to have a little bit more of a chance if you approach it this way. So there's a couple things that you can do to give yourself a little bit more of a chance of success. The first thing is make sure you hinge your wrists. You know, a large percentage of the power you produce in a pitch shot is going to come from hinging and unhinging your wrists. So as soon as that club moves back away from the ball, hinge the wrist. And again, there's only certain things that will translate well to me describing it here. Any of this type of stuff, I would encourage you guys, that the wealth of visual that's out there for YouTube, check that out. Look for, you know, pitch shot techniques. There's some really great instructors out there. I know some of the best ones out there are our buddies, Piers and Andy from Me and My Golf. You know, search their channel for pitch shot, similar type of thing. And then you'll be able to see that visual if you do want a visual. But as soon as the club moves back away from the ball, hinge that right wrist. This is for righties. Reverse it for lefties. Back on itself, set that angle. And then as you swing through, you unhinge your wrist. And that's what propels that club head back to the ball. Okay. Now, again, hinging and unhinging is a big, big difference from casting. We still don't want anybody casting. So there's still some other motions there, like I said, like turning the hips. But by hinging those wrists, you're going to be creating that proper pitch shot. Another important thing is keeping your head still. You know, you're still going to need to make solid contact in order to pull that shot off. And to make that contact, you need to keep your head as stable as possible. So with your head in that steady position, your eyes focus on the ball, making clean contact becomes a lot easier. I think especially on these greenside bunkers, we like get so anxious to see if the, you know, where the ball is going, if it's coming out onto the green, we end up moving our head or looking up. Just keep those eyes focused on that ball through contact. And then another important one is play that ball in the middle of your stance. If the ball is too far forward in your stance, you're very likely to hit that sand before the ball. And in this case, like I said, that's not what you want to do. Any other time, greenside bunker blast, yes. Hit the sand, use the sand to throw the ball up on the green. But here, it's the opposite. So if you want to play that as much as you can in the middle. If you play the ball too far back, chances are the swing's going to be a little steep. You may end up, you know, sticking the club too far down, you know, and hitting that ball down into the sand. So your best bet here, just center the ball in your stance. You're going to get the best results. Okay. So
I'm sorry. I'm laughing here because I'm looking at the photo in the article of the guy standing in the bunker that literally looks like a pool of water and he's got a vacuum.
Yeah. They're pumping it out. Right? It.
Look how disgusting that bunker is. I hope nobody ever comes to a bunker like that. Look how bad that is. Not even a playable bunker. You have to really take your ball out of this one, but it's great.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
But, you know, interesting point about the ball in the stance. I would immediately go with back of the stance because I would be thinking pick clean. You know what I mean? So you're saying middle.
Keep in the middle of your stance. That way you're coming down, you're making solid contact where you're naturally going to bottom out and you're going to bottom out hitting that ball. The most important thing is we're just trying to avoid making contact with that hard pan sand because like we said before, equipment wise, it's going to kind of just skip right off of it. So,
right.
So again, putting it simply, you're going to try to hit that ball cleanly instead of that blasting, you know, a big patch of sand out of the bunker. And it's going to come with its challenges. There's almost no margin for error on this shot. If any shot where you're playing, where you have to pick the ball very clean, there's very little margin for error. So if you miss solid contact, even slightly, the ball might not get out of the bunker, you know, especially if that lip is really high. But if you play it as that pitch shot, if you think of it as a pitch shot, there are ways you can get out cleanly. It's just going to be a little bit more delicate than it otherwise would be. So, you know, and it should go without saying that you'll want to practice the shot, just like any shot, practice it. If you find yourself at a driving range, they've got a practice bunker. You can work on this, especially if you head down there after it's rained. Or likewise, if you're out there playing a practice round, sometimes I'll take an advantage of that. And if it has rained and I see that situation, I'll practice that shot, because it is something that we do come across fairly regularly. I wouldn't say this is something that's too out of the ordinary, especially if you live in any type of area where you get significant rain. It's something that does happen. So it's a good thing to review. Get out there, try it. And as we always say with the Facebook group, if you have any questions about the shot, post them there, whatever we can do. So that's it. We have Mike, anything else on your end before we wrap it up today?
No, man. Just waiting for those clubs to come, waiting to get out there with you again. You know, yeah. I think the next time we get out there together, it will be with a brand new set of tools. So I'm looking forward to it.
Very excited for that. Yeah. Make sure you guys are following us on all the social channels, Instagram and Snapchat especially, because that's where we get to have a little bit of fun while we're out there and with the stories. And I'm sure we'll be posting the clubs as soon as they come in there, because we've got some really funny, interesting stuff we did with the customizations on the Vokey wedges. So I'm looking forward to showing everybody that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's everything we have. We'll catch up with everybody again next week. In the interim, you can get to all the show notes and everything we talked about today by just going to golfissy.com/episode221, or right in the app, just click podcast at the bottom. You'll find episode 221 and everything will be there for you. So check that out. We'll see everybody again next week.